Hi, welcome back to Agent Insider. I'm your host, Andy Jewell. Thanks for joining me today. Today, I want to talk about probably something that everybody deals with, everyone's aware of is auto insurance or car insurance. So it's the most common. If you're 16 or older, you're dealing with car insurance. And so I want to just kind of dive into some of the issues that come up about car insurance and some of the nuances inside of car insurance and things to be aware of. So one of the questions I get a lot is, hey, if I lend my car to somebody, are they covered? The short answer is it depends, which is the worst answer that always comes up with insurance, but it's the most accurate answer. And so I wanted to just kind of unpack that depends a little bit. Boy, that could come off as a bad pun. But the issue that you run into with permissive users is what we call them in the industry, is somebody who's not listed on the policy that you're giving the keys to the car to and they're driving. The policies, different policies have different issues. So there's some companies out there that won't cover a permissive user unless the permissive user is over the age of 25. Other policies, companies that I work with, will cover permissive users as long as the permissive user is fully licensed and is not committing any crimes. Sometimes they're going to have issues. Some companies I've seen will have issues where they'll drop coverage down on permissive users. So like the permissive user's covered, but if you're carrying like $250,000 of liability and you lend your keys to somebody, the insurance company is only providing state minimum. In Washington, that's $25,000 per person. So they're lowering the coverage of the permissive user. The other parts that I've seen that will happen is it's a household driver. So like a lot of times people are like, I don't want to list my 16-year-old kid on the policy because my rates go way up. And so they don't add them onto the policy when they get their license. And some companies, there's two main schools of thoughts that I've seen with this. If they are a household driver, they're not falling in the category of permissive user. So a permissive user would be somebody that's your neighbor, it's your friend, it's your aunt or your uncle who's visiting from out of town. That's the permissive user. Like they don't have regular access to your vehicle. They're just driving it on a one-off basis. That's where you can see like either you have full coverage just as if you were driving it, or you're going to have reduced coverage because some companies will reduce coverage to state minimums. But other than that, they're pretty cut and dry. Before I go into the household drivers, unlisted household drivers, I did want to mention this part with a permissive user. If you give your keys to somebody to drive and they get in an accident and your insurance company pays for it, when you lend your car, you lend your insurance. The good thing is the accident was covered. The bad thing is that it's going to count against you as an accident. It's going to show on your loss history as an at-fault accident that was paid out. Now, it's not going to show on your MVR. It's not going to show on your motor vehicle record, but it will show that in the insurance reports that your policy had an at-fault accident that was paid out by your insurance company. So it's something to just be aware of. It will affect your rates when you give your keys to your aunt or your uncle and if they get into an accident, it's going to affect your rates still. So it's something to be aware of with that. When you lend your car, you lend your insurance. So that's permissive users. Unlisted drivers is a different issue. So unlisted household drivers is somebody lives with you. It could be a child. It could be a relative that's moved in with you and you don't list them on your insurance. There's a couple of things that I see happen in the industry with an unlisted driver. One is some companies totally excluded. If they live in the household and they're not listed on the policy, not going to be covered. That's the worst case scenario, right? Because now there's an accident and the vehicle is not covered, but even more importantly, the liability to the other person is not covered. The other thing that I see happen is they'll change the deductibles on your vehicle for physical damage to your vehicle. So for instance, your child turns 16 and they always have to have a time period that they're giving you, a grace period, 60 days, 90 days, something reasonable. It's not like, hey, they turned 16 yesterday and they can't drive because now it's the weekend and we can't add them on until Monday. There's going to be some grace period with that. But after that 60 days or 90 days, if you don't add them on as a driver, they're going to, like I said, some companies will just totally exclude. Other companies will raise the deductible on your vehicle. So let's say you have a brand new Honda Civic and you got a $500 collision deductible. And the young driver who you didn't add on because it was going to make your rates go up gets into an accident. Worst case scenario, nothing's covered. Best case scenario is they say, hey, we're going to cover the liability to the other person and we're going to increase the deductible on your vehicle from 500 to maybe 5,000 or higher. Sometimes they won't cover your vehicle at all and they'll only cover liability to the others. So that's something to be aware of. It is something that you should add those drivers on. If they are living in your household, then you need to make sure they're added on. A unique situation that comes up, and maybe it's not unique, but one of the common questions where there might be exceptions to that rule is where you have like dual custody. So maybe in a divorce situation, the child lives with one parent for part-time, lives with the other parent the other time. You don't have to list them on both policies. If they're listed on one policy, then the other policy should recognize, hey, they are a listed driver. They're not an undisclosed driver. They should be listed on the policy of the house that they live at the most often or the vehicle that they drive the most often. And then we can show like, hey, this isn't like some weird thing. We're just not going to double dip on them. So you would want to just make sure they're listed on one policy, but then disclose that to the agent of your policy too. So I would say, hey, give them a call and say, My 16-year-old's driving. They're listed on my ex-spouse's policy. That's where they live, you know, 51% of the time, and they have a vehicle there. Are they okay to drive? And they should be fine. The reason why I say you should still call your agent, because remember, we said some companies have an total exclusion if that driver is under 25 and not listed on the policy. So you'd still want to make sure you talk to your agent in case you might be in one of those policies where they have to list them on anyways. So that's lend your car, lend your insurance is the bottom line. If somebody lives with you and it's going to be over 90 days that they're living with you, and so I'm not talking about someone visiting, make sure you talk to your agent because they should probably be added onto the insurance. And if they're on a different insurance policy, still talk to your agent just to make sure that there's no nuances of your policy that could fall into a gray area or a crack where there's a lack of coverage. The next part I wanted to talk about on auto insurance is rental car coverage. Because rental cars, that's another one that comes up a lot. People go on vacation, I'm renting a car. We fly down to Disneyland. We rent a car to drive to Disneyland from the airport and get around. Am I covered driving the rental car or do I need to buy that extra insurance from the rental car company that costs an additional 20, 30, 40 bucks a day? And the answer is, it depends. So it depends on what kind of coverage you have on your personal vehicle as to whether or not it transfers to the rental car. In general, whatever you have transfers to the rental car. So for instance, if you just have liability on your policy, then when you drive that rental car, your personal insurance policy here in Washington where I live, or if you're in Oregon or Idaho, that liability extends while you're driving the rental car. But since you don't have full coverage on your vehicle at home, they're not going to cover physical damage to the rental car. So if you get in an accident and damage the rental car, you're going to be on the hook for the cost of repairs or replacement of the rental car. And so in that case, I would say you should buy the additional coverage from the rental car agency. Now, if you have full coverage, the one thing that oftentimes is not covered is loss of use for the rental car. So you have full coverage, so you wreck the rental car, and your personal auto policy is going to pay the liability to the other person, plus it's going to pay the cost of repairs or replacement of the rental car. The part that it's not going to pay necessarily is the loss of use for the rental car. So the rental company can say, hey, we lost revenue and income because that vehicle was in the shop being repaired for 3 weeks rather than being on the lot and rented out for 3 weeks. So if their loss of income is like, hey, we make $50 a day, so that's, you know, $350 a week, so that's $1,050 for a 3-week period, then they can bill you for that loss of use or whatever their rental rate is and for however long it's out. So that could be a gap where you have to pay that extra. Whereas if you buy the rental insurance from the company, you don't have to worry about that. The caveat with that for coverage wise, and I was just going to speak to the company that I represent, is for Farmers Insurance, we would pay for that if you have rental car coverage on your personal vehicle. Rental car coverage on your personal vehicle covers if you get in an accident and your vehicle's in the shop waiting to be repaired, we will pay for a rental car while it's being repaired. And if you rent an enterprise vehicle or a Hertz vehicle, and then it's damaged and it's waiting to be repaired, we would transfer that coverage of rental reimbursement or rental car coverage to that rental car. So that way we would cover that loss of use for you. So depending on what kind of coverage you have, you may not need to buy any additional coverage from the rental car company. Or depending on what you have, you might need to buy extra coverage. So it's something that you should definitely, again, talk to your agent about. Hey, I'm renting a car. I'm gonna be gone for X number of days. Do I need to buy their coverage? And or will my coverage or my personal policy cover everything? And is there any holes in that? And I would ask specifically about that loss of use. Do I have loss of use coverage? Because that could be an extra $1,000 out of pocket if that you're not expecting, or more if it's not on the policy. So that's something that I would definitely recommend talking to your agent about. Auto insurance, third topic that I wanted to talk about today is broad form coverage. So it kind of ties into, and maybe I should talk about it before the rental car, because it kind of ties into the idea of lending your vehicles. If you have a broad form policy, or what it's doing is it's covering you as a driver and not a specific vehicle. So sometimes people will get this if they own like maybe 5 or 6 cars and they're like, hey, these cars aren't worth anything because you can't have physical damage coverage on a broad form policy. So you can't cover the vehicle because we're not covering a specific vehicle. We're covering you as the driver. So they'll say, hey, I got 5 vehicles. They're all worth, you know, $500 or less, and it's not worth worrying about covering the vehicle itself. So I just want to cover me as the driver. And so I think this is less expensive. You can do that. There's a couple of issues with that. One is your vehicle cannot be covered on that. So if your vehicle has value to you and you want to make sure that's covered, you're going to have insurance on the vehicle. Number two is when we talked about lend your car, lend your insurance. If you have broad form coverage, when you lend your car, you're not lending your insurance because the insurance isn't on the car. It's on you as the driver. And so then I let my buddy drive the vehicle and he gets in an accident. Well, and then someone goes, well, what do I care? It's his fault. So why am I worried about whether or not I have my insurance on it? The reason why is because you're the registered owner. And if as the registered owner of the vehicle, you're responsible to maintain liability for it while it's on the road. And so you could end up in a gap of insurance coverage where they're going to sue the driver for sure. They're going to sue your buddy, but they're also going to sue you because you own the vehicle. And your broad form coverage isn't going to cover you because you weren't driving and there's no coverage on the vehicle. So now you have a gap of insurance and a lawsuit on your hands. That's ultimately your responsibility. So if you do use broad form insurance, you have to be very careful not to lend your vehicle to somebody. Or if you do, you have to make sure even if they have broad form, I still wouldn't do it because you're still on the hook as the registered owner. So I would just say, if you use broad form insurance, don't lend your vehicles out because there's no coverage on the vehicle for somebody else driving it. It's only you driving it. So it might work if you're like, hey, I'm the only one that ever drives my vehicles. I got several vehicles that have no value in the vehicles themselves. So I'm not concerned about physical damage coverage on the vehicles. I'm only concerned about liability to others. and I'm not going to let anybody else drive it, Broadform might work for you. But you just have to be very careful with Broadform because it's a very specific policy and it can leave a lot of gaps that people aren't aware of because they're used to traditional policies. And so they kind of think about it like, hey, I can lend my vehicles out. They have insurance. Or I'm lending my vehicle, lending my insurance. Those things don't necessarily apply with Broadform. And even if the friend that you lend the vehicle to has Broadform insurance, that covers them as the driver, but it doesn't cover you as the owner of the vehicle. And if their insurance is not enough to cover the cost of the claim, the lawyers will sue you as because you're the registered owner of the vehicle. Same thing like, and this kind of ties in, the registered owner vehicle conversation kind of ties into another topic, which is when you sell a vehicle. If you sell a vehicle and you don't file a vehicle sales report with the Department of Licensing, and then the purchaser doesn't file or does a title transfer, they just don't go in and do the title transfer, you are technically still the legal owner. You have to prove that you sold the vehicle. And so if the vehicle is impounded, or if you're going to get the bill from the tow company. If the vehicle is involved in an accident, you're going to get pulled into that accident. If the vehicle is abandoned or part of a crime scene, guess what? The cops are knocking on your door. Now, it doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to be responsible, because if you can provide proof that you sold the vehicle, even though you didn't file the report of sale, then you're off the hook. But they are going to make you prove that you sold the vehicle. So I know I've talked to one guy. He's like, I always take a picture of the driver's license, the person I sell the vehicle to, and I take a picture of them driving away. I'm like, that's great, but you should also make sure you go online and file a report of sale with the Department of Licensing. And then even if they don't transfer the title, it's documented that you sold the vehicle to that person and you're completely off the hook. So that kind of ties in, right? Because the reason why you want to do that is because you don't want to get pulled into lawsuits. You don't want to get pulled into anything that happens when somebody else uses the vehicle and it's still in your name. And so the same thing with that Broadform, you need to be careful, because if it's in your name, you're going to get pulled into things if somebody else is driving. So anyways, I hope that's helpful and hopefully that made sense. I know we kind of went through a bunch of different things there pretty quickly, but it's super important to think about who you're letting drive your vehicle. Make sure what the limitations on your policy are. Do they have age restrictions? What is the disclosed drivers? Make sure you're talking to your agent, disclosing who lives with you and who's the normal driver of the vehicle. Broadform can work fine for some people, but if you are letting other people drive your vehicle other than yourself, probably not a great idea. And then rental car coverage, it's going to take your vehicles, your personal vehicle insurance, transfer it to the rental car coverage. So maybe if you have great coverage on your personal vehicle, you don't need that rental car coverage, or maybe you do. Something to ask your agent about. And then lastly, just kind of public service announcement, has nothing to do with insurance directly, but make sure that when you sell a vehicle, you do that report of sale, because otherwise it can come back and haunt you later, whether that's an accident that you're getting pulled into or something else. So anyways, I hope that's helpful for you guys. If you have questions, feel free to send me an email. My email address is theagentinsider@gmail.com. It's the and then agentinsider@gmail.com. Or if you have a topic that you're like, hey, you guys haven't talked about this and I'm really curious about this when it comes to insurance, whether that's personal insurance or business insurance or medical insurance, drop me an email. I'll be happy to put it in our list of topics for future conversations. So anyways, thanks so much for joining me today, and I hope you guys have a great day. Until next time.